Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another Monday night installment here at Your Remedy is in the Law. Brought to you by Americans Restoring America. Before we get started with this evening, though, it is very important that I provide you with the following disclaimer. Nothing that you hear on this call tonight may be deemed by you in any way, shape, or form to be legal advice. If you're on this call because of a situation in your life where you require legal advice, I very politely ask you to hang up the phone. And we don't mean to sound rude when we say this. We just want to express to everybody in no uncertain terms that anybody looking for legal advice has no place or business here on any of these calls. Nobody here at Your Remedies in the Law or any of the programs or any of the sites offered by Americans Restoring America, anybody associated with is a lawyer, attorney, or any member of the bar. Therefore, nobody here is able to offer you any legal advice. If you need legal advice, my advice to you would be get an attorney. As for these calls, they're all just for entertainment purposes, just folks saying what they might do, were they similarly situated, people giving their opinions. However, sometimes educated and experienced as these opinions might be, at the end of the day, they are just that. They're just people's opinions. And you are always expected to do your own due diligence. All right, on to the next thing here with Your Remedies in the Law. If I can take everybody to the homepage, www.yourremedyisinthelaw.com. If we look up in the upper right-hand corner, you see a little picture of the Constitution. Click on that. You'll have a separate page come up with just two items on it, an otherwise blank page. But these two items are of much importance, especially if this is all new to you. On the left, you've got the Jurisdictionary course. That's your 24-hour crash course on the rules of civil procedure, known to some as American Jurisprudence or AMJUR. The rules of civil procedure are essentially the foundation or structure upon which all law in America rests. So to have a thorough and firm understanding of these, means to have at least a basic concept of what's going on in virtually any court scenario that you may find yourself in. On the right is the common law default process, of course, mostly known for its national, very high win rate in traffic cases, most traffic cases throughout the country. Of course, that's what it's most popularly acquired for anyway. But that's not why it's up here. The reason we've got it up here is once you've taken the jurisdictionary course and then you get into this common law default process, you'll see very quickly that it's kind of a real-life homework assignment. It mirrors up perfectly with some of the key pillars that you learn about in the jurisdictionary course. So that, with the fact that it is mostly known for traffic court scenarios, it's kind of what it's built for. You know, folks seem to find this a little more palatable with, you know, having their first time, first crack up the bat, if you will. Traffic scenarios are usually, not quite as intensive. Not as big of a risk there in case, you do have a little mess up there on your first go-around. So folks find it a little more, it's easy to be, brave with it. And so that's why we've got it together there. You've got the jurisdictionary course with a generous asking of a very small contribution of $250 and the common law default process asking $150. And so we encourage you at your earliest convenience to pick those up. And that's a great place for you there to start if you're just coming new into this. All right. Also, at Your Remedy is in the Law. You may have noticed whenever you click on or you go to Your Remedy is in the Law, you have that little blue box that pops up for Americans Restoring America. And this is the reason we've done this is we're trying to get folks to explore. Your Remedy is in the Law has many different information providers on many different subjects, many different educational topics. There's books, there's all types of stuff to see there at Your Remedies in the Law. But then Your Remedy is just one of a dozen and a half websites that all together make up Americans Restoring America. And so we have this little blue box popped up encouraging you to, explore one of these times. If you have a moment, go ahead and click on that blue box and go on and visit and see what else is offered there at Americans Restoring America. Now, if you have a question or if you're wondering if we have a particular information provider that can provide an educational material for your particular scenario, you can give us a shout at the 1-800 number, 1-800-625-4250. Or you can also email me directly, mm@yourremediesinthelaw.com. and they'll be happy to get you set up there. All right. Grassfire Communications, formerly known as Statewide Communications. That's that little map of the United States that you see pop up on almost every site that we have. It's a private communications platform that enables you to get linked up with folks that are right there in your local area that have similar interest to the topics that you have interest with. There's no charge to use this. It's a very, very easy setup. You got a little setup wizard there. Very easy to get yourself started with. Very user-friendly. You know, put your name in here, click next. Put your zip code in here, click next. They'll give you a long list of topics, no matter what you can think of. Anything from veterans' rights to home foreclosure to IRS, credit cards, anything you can think of. You'll find it there in the list. You choose what your interests are there, and then you choose the radius of how far, you know, do I want to go 5 miles out, 10, 15, 20 miles out. And when it's all done, it puts it together much of how some would think of it as like a social media, but really it's nothing like social media. It's very, very private, very custom. But how some folks would think of that, it puts you in contact with people right there in your local area. And, you know, of course, the idea here is to put the power of communication and the power of education back in the hands of the common man. That's what we're hoping to do here with Grassfire Communications. So if you're not signed up yet, please do so at your earliest convenience. Again, a lot of material, a lot of good stuff at Your Remedy Is in the Law. All these calls are recorded. We have years of archives going back. All that is included in your membership at Your Remedy Is in the Law. If you have not picked that up today, we encourage you to do so as well for that. Again, a very generous asking of a very meager contribution of $10 a month for membership at Your Remedy Is in the Law. You can check out all the years of calls that we have. We have lots of other features there as well. And, of course, if that's not an option for you yet today, you have Freedoms Radio, freedomsradio.com. Every night these calls do go out over Freedoms Radio, so you don't have to miss a call again if you don't wish. And there's no charge for Freedoms Radio. And there's even a spot there where you can type in a question or make a comment and click the submit button, and that shows up on our end, and we read those out on the radio calls and try to get those answered as well. All right, winding down here. This next portion is called your caveat emptor or your buyer beware. When you come aboard with an information provider here at Your Remedies in the Law, you're doing just that. You're going directly with that information provider. Now, these info providers pay for advertising at Your Remedy. This payment would be an expense to that info provider, along with any other expenses that might be associated with your particular educational process. So, you know, that brings us to the age-old question of what is the refund policy or what is the exchange policy at Your Remedies in the Law? And, of course, the answer is there is none. Again, if there was to be any discussion of a refund or a credit, that would be a strict and private matter between you and your information provider. But even then, that's very few and far between. It must be extenuating circumstances. You're always expected, as always, to have done your due diligence before you commit to any particular information provider's product or time. All right, lastly here, on the subject of all the information providers at Your Remedy, all these speakers on these calls are guests and should be treated with the highest level of respect. If you disagree with something that a speaker has to say, that's fine. Disagreeing is how we learn, but please, you must always be civil. Besides, if a question is posed properly and then answered properly, then we can all learn something from it. All right, well, that is my ramble for this evening, folks. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn the call over to Mr. Edward, and he will briefly introduce our speaker for this evening.
All right, thank you, Martin. Good evening. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight is going to be a most somber call. A young man has, basically participated in his own killing, and he is someone who has been corrected to status, someone who had no training, no education on how to handle traffic stops, et cetera. and the end result was his death. I've shared this with Brother John and, of course, GW, et cetera. I want to let you hear this right now. Let's see if I can find it real quickly. Just had it open. Here we go. And we're going to play it probably one more time tonight.
This was last Wednesday in Farmington when an officer noticed that blue BMW didn't have an official license plate and started to pull the driver over.
Police, we're going to stop today. There's no registration on your vehicle.
The driver, Chase Allen, wouldn't identify himself to the officer or give any vehicle registration.
No registration. Don't ask questions.
This went on a few times.
Are you going to provide me your identification? Okay, so I'm going to take that as a no. That you're not going to provide me your identification.
Eventually, Allen gave the officer a passport that identified him as Chase Allen.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chase Allen.
That is not me. That is Officer Jacob.
So you have a fraudulent passport?
No.
The officer then told Allen to get out of the car.
Say, step out of the car for me.
No.
And when he didn't, another officer started trying to get him out.
That escalation of force from verbal to hands-on, in my opinion, was absolutely reasonable and appropriate.
Officers noticed Allen move his cell phone from one hand to the other and move his other hand in the direction of the gun in a holster on his hip.
Go.
Several times, they tried helping him with first aid after the shooting, but he died. Officers found the gun on the floor of the car.
I say it's just a tragic ending to what started out as a everyday traffic stop. The proverbial routine traffic stop ended in tragedy.
So we're going to be talking about this tonight when GW will be here in about 5 minutes or so. That was totally uncalled for, unnecessary. If, first off, when I have time to get to it, and I don't right now, there's too many irons in the fire, there's too many students that are on fire that we're dealing with that have hired the team on different issues, and I've not had time, but I will take the time as soon as possible. I will go to Tallahassee. I will be prepared. I will be visiting with the State Department, and I will be visiting with Vehicle Registration Department, and also the Department of Travel that they have. And I will probably have John with me, and we will explain to these people, their representatives anyways, that there are two classes of citizens and that state national is not one of them. You heard that phrase used in this call, state national. That tells me that it was, you know, another team out there, you know, selling their wares and not educating people. And because I've heard Anavon Wrights, I've heard that other fellow, I forget his name, that they both their students are referred to as state nationals. And there is nothing in any of the legislature that identifies such a creature. You have American national. That's codified, United States Code, Title 8, Section 1502. Anyways, when I make the visit, not only will we bring all this evidence, we will bring federal lawsuits that will be involved at that time or have already concluded. We'll bring judicial determinations from other students that we've already gone through today. And then, of course, by whenever that visit is made by that time as well, and just say to them, you know, we're here to be peaceful. We're not here to cause anybody in trouble. And the whole thing starts, the whole intervention starts when a law enforcement officer is concerned about the tag on a car or the lack of a tag on a car, et cetera, or that it's been a monkeyed with tag that when they run it through their computer, they've got software that reads the tag and says it's bogus, whatever, it's not registered. That's where it starts. So if you would like to save your government, your pocketbooks, and your personal interests, you may want to consider providing those people that ask you to provide them with a tag, no charge, and when a law enforcement officer, a LEO, runs the tag, it will come up and say the same thing that's said when they run the pass card, when they take possession of the pass card and they run it on their computer inside their car, and that it says, do not investigate, do not detain, release immediately. Something that has a diplomatic side to it. That's the only place to stop it, is before it gets started. And this is just absolutely heinous. The fact that this young man had no education at all about what he was to do, how he was to conduct himself. If I were armed like that, I would not have my hands on the wheel at 10 and 2. I would have the window rolled down before he even got out of his car, and my hands, both of them, would be hanging out the window. Yes, I'd have to contort and twist hard to the left to do that, but I would just have my hands out the window like that. And when he approached, I'd have a cheerful sound in my voice. Hello, officer. How are you today? And then when he started, you know, asking questions, et cetera, I would say, before we get going, I want you to understand on my right hip is a 1911 Colt 45 caliber. And on my left thigh is a Beretta 9mm 16-round firearm underneath my trousers. And I want you to know this before we do anything, have any conversation. I want you to be as calm and as peaceful and feeling as safe as possible. I do not need any ventilation in my body, and nor will I do anything that would cause that to occur. How would you like me to proceed? And go from there. If he says, keep your hands outside, I want to cuff you. I say, go ahead. I'm here to comply any way you want. We're not going to have any drama on the side of the road. This will all be dealt with in court. And after you have secured the scene, I'd like to have a conversation with you if you're willing. If not, that's fine too. Just do what you have to do, but let's do this safely and professionally. That's the way it should have happened, that young man would be alive today. But there was no training. He was just given enough to hang himself with, and that's what he did. So I want everyone to understand that everything that we offer, whether it's the Saturday night call, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we're going to have live calls on Thursday, not starting today, but very soon. Hopefully that will be on Allodium. Everything that we do is under the big tent, if you would. It's not a one-ring circus. It's not a three-ring circus. It's more like a five-ring circus. And all of us coordinate with each other and pass information amongst ourselves regarding a student, just on the outside chance that one of the information providers who has nothing to do with that particular subject might have some insight. You know, all right, yeah, I remember something like that in a court case. Give me a couple hours, I'll find it, and I'll get it to you. And now we've got something that we didn't even know exist, even though that's what the team focuses on. There are things out there that not everybody knows, but some do. So what I'm saying is you have a group of people who are dedicated first to your well-being, to see to it that whatever the issue is that you came to us for, that your education is full and complete. And nonsense like this doesn't have to happen. A tragedy like this does not have to happen. GW, I see that you've just joined us. Welcome. I've played the audio one time, and I gave some comments on it again. Now that you're here, I want to play it one more time and ask for your input on it, and then we'll open it up for Q&A if you like. So just give me 1 second here.
This was last Wednesday in Farmington when an officer noticed that blue BMW didn't have an official license plate. Started to pull the driver over.
There's no registration on your vehicle.
The driver, Chase Allen, wouldn't identify himself to the officer or give any vehicle registration.
I don't need registration.
I'll ask questions. This went on a few times.
Are you going to provide me your identification?
I don't have the question.
Okay, so I'm going to take that as a no, that you're not going to provide me your identification.
Eventually, Allen gave the officer a passport that identified him as Chase Allen.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chase Allen.
That is not me. That is a piece of plastic paper.
So you have a fraudulent passport?
No.
The officer then told Allen to get out of the car.
Okay, step out of the car for me.
No.
And when he didn't, another officer started trying to get him out.
That escalation of force from verbal to hands-on, in my opinion, was absolutely reasonable and appropriate.
Officers noticed Allen move his cell phone from one hand to the other and move his other hand in the direction of the gun in a holster on his hip.
Gun!
Several times. They tried helping him with first aid after the shooting, but he died.
Yeah.
Found the gun on the floor of the car.
I say it's just a tragic ending to what started out as a everyday traffic stop. The proverbial routine traffic stop ended in tragedy.
Thanks for watching our YouTube.
Okay, so without further ado, let me turn the call over to GW, and let's hear his comments, please.
Oh, well, thank you for playing that, and hopefully everybody heard that. Good evening, everybody. I've had an off day as far as my energy goes, so I'm just kind of getting through here. That was of course a topic of discussion with several different people that contacted me over the last week. And I finally watched it the other day, and loaded like 10 shots into that guy. It's pretty much an illustration of everything not to do. Okay, everything not to do. For one thing. You know, I mean, I imagine most people on the call hearing that, or if they've seen it themselves, it's a tragic thing, you know, that anytime, you know, somebody has to go that way. But that is a good illustration also of how to commit suicide, in my estimation. This kid, whoever he was, and he was a student, by the way, of David Strait and his teaching. So David Strait and Anna von Reitz, a lot of their people are getting in trouble right now. And another sad fact about that is that it's used by the enemy, or the deep state, if you want to call it, as good fodder being able to slander, you know, the movement, so to speak. And this kid, from what you can see and what he said, first off, he says, I don't answer questions. If you want to play that card, and I've seen people that have sent me numerous videos off of YouTube of people doing the same thing. It's kind of gotten a little more popular, but it's definitely not something that I would do myself, for sure, if I was in a similar situation. You're just baiting the situation to escalate. And, you know, they're taught certain types of doctrines of how to escalate a situation to the point where they can use deadly force. I used to know what it was called. I forget the name right now. But there's actually a doctrine for it that they teach, you know, cops. And whether that's fair or not, I'm not saying. I'm just saying here's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with something that where once it escalates and they get it to that point, they can justify it. So... of course, he had a passport to be gave him, which I think is kind of stupid, you know, rather than a passport card. It's not out of the question. I've known plenty of people that have used their passports with success, but I don't think any of them were belligerent in that way. And he's driving around with his gun on his hip. And not that that's against the law or illegal, but it's just if you get pulled over, for sure you want to be identifying the fact that you've got a firearm, and you know you want to really say your intent is not to use it. But yeah, that whole thing was unnecessary. Now, a lot of people will tell me and compliment me from time to time, not blow my own horn, but I spend hours and hours on the phone with my clients and my students. I mean, I spend hours once they've gone through it. And one of the things that I always go through, and I'm always telling everybody, is that when you get pulled over, if you get pulled over, and you decide to use your your passport card in place of your license, you want to be kind, you want to be assertive, but you at the same time you don't need to be super. You just need to be kind, you know, gentle. You know, wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, like the scripture says. You don't need to escalate it into anything. If they want you to get out of your car, you shouldn't argue about that, because that's going to turn into a situation where they're going to use more and more people. They're going to eventually get you out of that car. It's not like they're going to just, you know, okay, he's not going to get out of his car. We'll just drive away. I mean, if it gets to that point. And all the people that I've ever dealt with, they've never been taken out of the car. They've never been removed from it. They did it in such a way that the cops finally just, you know, said, okay, you can move on. Last friend of mine, and this was probably 6 months ago, the cop ended up shoving the card right into his chest and said, get out of here. You know, didn't even run the card. Okay, and my friend Owen was telling them how, well, I don't drive, which is commercially regulated activity, but I do, however, travel, okay, which is my right, and here's my travel card. So that kid did neither of those things. I listened to it real pretty carefully from what the recording showed. Didn't do any of those things. So there you go. I wouldn't be dwelling on that issue for very long, because there's plenty of, you know, just dumb mistakes people make out there. And the thing is, you just need to be calm and cool. And if the police officers are getting outraged with you, you know, just keep it calm, because it really takes two to escalate the situation. You've got to be really involved in it to escalate the situation up to a higher level. And you don't have to, excuse me, you don't have to join in, come in joinder with the escalating energy. You could just keep calm. And so I would say with that situation, Michael, it's just a good illustration of pretty much everything not to do. And so, of course, we know what this calls for tonight. This is about, you know, correcting your status with the State Department. And once you've corrected your status, you're really in a better place to be able to function on a constitutional construct. So, anyway, I don't think I have anything else really to bring up or anything else to say, you know, that I can think of right now. So, Michael, if you'd like to, we can open up the lines to answering some questions.
Okay. The before Martin does this, well, Martin, go ahead and give your part here, and then I'm going to start after you've done that and give it time to populate.
All right. Star 2 on your keypad, folks, if you have a question. Star 2 at this time to raise your hand, and we'll call on you one at a time and unmute you one at a time. If you're listening on the Freedoms Radio side, have your question in the or comment in the question bar there, in the blue bar there, but don't forget to click the little submit button at the bottom. If you don't click the submit button, we don't see it. All right, Mr. Edward.
Thank you. What I started to say was, if you've been with me for a long time, you know I do not speak ill of other people that one could consider are competing with me, or I'm competing with them, whatever. I learned decades ago, half a century ago, that no matter what your competition does or says, your position should always be to speak well of them wherever you can or however you can to speak well, not to respond to nasty things that they'll say. But in this case, it's never, from my history, it's never been life or death. It's just been trying to do more business. In fact, my comment to the customers that would bring me their tales of what my competition would say is, well, thank you for sharing that with me. But you know what? The greatest thing about that position that they've taken is that they bring to me my best customers, and I'm glad that you're here. Thank you. So that's always the position I've taken. But tonight, I'm taking a different position, because that young man should not have died. He should not have been killed. And it was because the people that were teaching him, or if you want to say that he even had an education, whatever it was, they didn't cue. They did not alert to the fact that he had an attitude. That attitude was displayed with him sitting in the car before he got shot multiple times. They should have caught that. And they should have focused on him to teach him the proper way to interface with law enforcement. And the proper way to interface is basically live to fight another day. Submit to whatever BS they want. Let them know right off the top, officer, my hands are hanging outside the window, not at the 2 o'clock and 10 o'clock position on the steering wheel. They're hanging out the window because I have a firearm on my hip, and I don't want you to notice it. I want you to know of it first. Set the tempo, set the thermostat, Don't become a thermometer. And you just ask, what would you like me to do? Here I am. I mean, this is really, I'm uncomfortable. My body's contorted to hang out the window like this so that you can clearly see my hands are far away from my weapon. But what would you like me to do? Would you like to cuff my hands while I'm out here so I can at least put them back on my steering wheel and be a little more comfortable? I don't care. I'm not here to prove anything. We'll settle whatever has to be settled on this matter in a courtroom, not here on the side of the road. He had no training. He had none. It's just, I'm taken back from it. Go ahead, Martin. Unmute and take your calls.
All right. First up, we've got Jennifer in New York. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Well, I've been debating whether to register the car or not because my registration is due. And then I realized, well, I don't have the MSO. And so even though I'm I have corrected my status, the car status isn't correct. So I decided I would register the car. But I also wanted to let the DMV know of my status. And I did go to the DMV a while ago, and they can't take any extra paperwork or put anything extra on your file or anything at all. So I decided I'd check out online today. And I went on to contact us, and I had to click on multiple things because they don't really give you a lot of choices. You can't type in what you want to talk to them about. They give you a choice. Is it this, 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 or this? And so I just chose one that allowed me to type in what I wanted to say. And so I basically said that I'd like you to let me know, how to get some documents on your record that show I'm not a U.S. citizen, I'm an American national, and where I might mail those or email those documents to. And then at the end, it actually said if I have any documents, I could attach them. So I attached my affidavit and W-8 Ben, and the State Department has my record, and I wanted to include that same record on the DMV as well. And so we'll see what happens. Anyway, I was kind of excited that I could send them the documents through this chat online at the DMV office website. I'll just let you know. We'll see what happens.
That's very interesting. Yeah, there's another little tidbit for people there. Yeah. You know, I think that's good. You know, bless you, Jennifer. You don't have to be too concerned. You don't have to be real concerned about, you know, registering a car. It really shouldn't be a too much of a, unless it's a huge economic, you know, situation or something like that. It really doesn't further your situation more by having it unregistered. In fact, you know, just like the kid who had a homemade plate or a plate that he ordered, you know, a UCC1 or whatever. I forget what the plate was that he had on his car. there are numerous different things like that that you can get. You can go to web pages and order them. You can actually you can go to David, I believe it's Anavon Rights, their organizations and get those kind of things too, which to me is a little bit of a concern. It's also a little bit of a concern. I was just telling a story the other day that and most people on the call that have heard my testimony before or they remember the background that I have know that when I was interviewed by the not the IRS, but the CID, which is the Criminal Investigation Division of the Treasury, it was over the filing of a what's called the 1099 OID to recoup massive amounts of funds for people who had mortgages and huge credit cards and things like that. And I always try to warn people, and I always say this as a disclaimer that, hey, you don't want to do it. it's going to raise a lot of attention for you. You are going to be interviewed. If you say the wrong things, you're going to jail and then prison. But what's interesting is those documents and that process is on one of the websites I was perusing for David Strait. And so it's kind of buried in there, but it's one of those things you can order, you know, along with a bunch of other different things you can processes that you can, you know, order this module. And I thought, wow, that is interesting. So I was on a phone call today, or not today, I'm sorry. This was 2 days ago. With the gentleman that actually put together the website for Anavon Rights and has maintained it for a long time that gives me some feedback. And he also happens to be a very good friend of Russell J. Gould, who does the correct parse asyntax grammar and learning how to write, you know, in a way that is a mathematical equation front and back, frontwards, backwards. Anyway, but he was telling me, this gentleman Bo was telling me he had just been on the phone with Russell, and Russell said and was addressing on his channel this situation with David Strait's student. And, of course, putting his 2 cents in. And Russell had said, now this is not me saying it, this is Russell said straight up, that Anavon Rights and David Strait are FBI agents. Okay. Now, I have no confirmation of that. That's just what he told me, that Russell said. And then he said, you know, he wanted to get together for dinner, him and I and Russell and one other gentleman, when Russell gets back into town. But, you know, I've always thought that they were some kind of a plant because of the mishandling of some of these things. Okay. When I met, Brother John for the very first time back in 1996, and Bernie was there too, and they had come to a meeting in Phoenix at a hotel, and they were attending this conference, and the conference was talking about a lot of patriotic things and how to escape the tax system and a number of different things, and I went to a lot of those kind of things, and I really realized later that it actually was a sting. that was going on at the same time with these people. These people were down. And, of course, I wasn't caught up in it, thank God. Was just there as a observer, and of course made some good contacts, Brother John being one of them at that time. Even though it was semi brief. Anyway, there are a lot of operatives, at least there have been in the past, that have entered into the patriotic arena and decided, you know, that they would either rip people off or they work as a agent, okay, for the FBI. In fact, we had, you know, that happened to us, me and my partner back in the early 2000s. Where there was a what they would call an FBI Unit 5 guy. He's not employed so much, but he is an agent in a sense. He is a I don't want to use that word agent. They're somebody to go in to help the FBI to sting, okay, put out the bait, and hopefully whoever will take the bait, and then the FBI can move in and prosecute and arrest and all that. So we were the target of several of those things, and so and that man that. was trying to sting us and do this, ended up going to prison for 2 5-year consecutive time periods back to back, you know, concurrent with each other. And so anyway, these things happen, so it's always good just to be very aware of who you're dealing with. The kind of character of the people you're dealing with, and what type, you know, if they seem a little cavalier about your safety and things like this, you know, take a step back. Anyway, thank you, Jennifer.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I was very happy to find that little it was under the record tab, and I mentioned that, you know, the State Department had the information, and I just wanted to include them in that. I was trying to make it so they'd be happy. And anyway, thanks for everything. Good night.
All right. Good night. Talk to you soon. All right. Next one, Martin.
Martin? Okay, next is Ed in Beaver Falls.
I guess I was muted. Sorry about that. Yes, I said it three times. I was wondering why nobody was hearing me. Yes, Ed in Pennsylvania, go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Ed.
I first saw that clipping about the young fellow that got shot. He got shot 42 times, I think it was. Someone put a sound graph out there, and every spike was a bullet, and it had 42 spikes in it. So they, like, even watched one officer run up from behind the car, and it looked all the world to me like he wanted to get in on that action. I don't know. It's like sort of like there's things that happen that you don't expect to happen, and then a spirit takes hold of the people doing it, and it's all over. That's just all there is to it. But, you know, it's good to be walking the path with our Heavenly Father. Doggone it anyways. Yeah? And that says you're always learning. You're always learning more about how to relate to people. Even if they are evil, you still have to relate to them. And it's, I looked at what he was doing throughout the video, and I just thought, no, don't do it that way. And I just thought, oh boy, you could pick out the things that were wrong, and like you guys are saying, there was absolutely no training for him. Someone told him, I have a buddy of mine that acts this way too, but someone told him, oh no, don't give an inch. And I just, la-di-da. But anyways, I'm still working on getting a bank account. I got turned down on a W-8-B-E-N, turning that in. I'm not sure how to open a bank account. I haven't had one in 20 years. And, but I turned in a W-8 to Pittsburgh National Bank, who are now the sixth or the ninth largest bank in the United States. So I don't know whether that was a good place to open a bank account or not. But they totally misread me. They wanted to act like I was a foreign student. And I'm like, no, I was born here. I've lived here all my life. Just not a U.S. citizen. No, they want me to get the passport first. And I don't know where I'm at in that. We've had all kinds of other stuff happen here. We had a train wreck, poisoned the air with I forget what it's called, but it produces dioxins. And, of course, I got my lung full of it, and la-di-da. And so life goes on, or slow death goes on, or whatever. Some people like to say you're dying from the day you're born. That's kind of pessimistic if you're walking with Yeshua, you know?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, at any rate, I want to come back into trying to get this done all the way. I think I am going to have enough that I can start a religious trust with Bernie and start going that way. And then I don't know whether any putting money into any banks is going to be safe. I see the need to put it there just to more or less buy silver and gold. I don't think I'm wrong on that. But I guess I knew from the beginning here that this wasn't a thing we did that was wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, we're all done. There ain't anything left to learn ever again. That's just all there is to it. Just a comment.
Yep. Yeah, it's a good foundational first step.
Over and out.
All right, Ed. Thanks for commenting. All right, Martin.
All right, let's get a refresh here. And we've got Nancy. Get her unmuted here.
On that video clip was that I didn't like that cop's attitude from the very beginning. It seemed like he was, you know, well, the first thing he did was call for backup, and two other squad cars came, totaling six people before the interaction even got started. Other than that, I think the problem here is just dealing with the Leos, no matter if you're an American national and you have all your documentation and your passport and whatever your automobile or car is what, however you have it licensed or registered or not registered, and no plates or private plates. I don't see that. I think the problem is relating and dealing with whoever ends up stopping you. And I don't know what to do about that, because, you know, you can have it all right, and it's just, it doesn't seem like they are willing to listen, because I think they're being coached to, you know, go not recognize your jurisdiction. And I'd like to share with the group another YouTube video. This one is with, it's called, it's on YouTube, WHP-SheriffDEP by Frank Burris. Burris, I guess, B-E-R-R-I-S. Anyway, it's a, you know, a highway stop in Wyoming, and with the, I think it's the sheriff in the, and the highway patrol or the state trooper, with a native, older native man who's an, is an American national, and they go on for about over 20 minutes. He recorded the whole thing. And, you know, it's interesting to listen to that one also. He finally got away. He had notified the local sheriff and all the local authorities, the police department, and notified all the state authorities as to his jurisdiction. And I guess he was driving without any plates on his auto, and that's why he was stopped. I don't know, maybe he was speeding. I don't remember. But it's another example to listen to and learn from. And that's all I have to say on that one. And my other question would be, Jennifer said she was turning in her a W-8 bin with her, I don't know, trying to get paperwork with the DMV. Why do you turn in a W-8 bin with your paperwork when that is basically just an IRS document? That's my question.
All right, did you copy that, DW?
Crud, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. I had it muted the whole time. I was pulling a Martin.
So, okay, did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard what you said. Okay, so I can tell you right off the bat why, okay, she would use that W-8-B-E-N. It's a powerful, powerful instrument, okay? Even though, yes, it is an IRS document, and yes, it says certification of non-resident alien. Okay.
Right. Yeah, I've gone
for United
it.
States tax. Well, here, let me just talk for a second.
Okay.
Even though it says certification of non-resident alien for United States tax withholding, it is a document that's basically certifying you as a non-resident alien. Okay. And by the way, if you understand what the IRS has done through Title 26, they have categorized a non-resident, they have categorized an American national in the same group, the same category as a non-resident alien, okay? So, if anything, you want to, you know, it's not wrong to state that you're a non-resident alien, okay?
Well, on that document, I think it's line number 7, they give you some choices. One of them is Union State Citizen.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though you might be a Union State Citizen, you're still a non-resident alien. So
right.
Let me ask you this question.
Or American National, they're all kind of the same, right?
Well, okay, they're an American national. They're a non-resident alien because they're a non-resident of the 10 square miles of the District of Columbia, okay?
Okay.
Which is where everybody else who's a U.S. citizen is claiming an obligation to, even though they may not live there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a U.S. U.S. citizen and you're claiming that you're a resident, then that means that you're literally part and parcel to that 10 square miles of the District of Columbia and obligated to all the statutes, codes, and regulations. So that's one of the reasons why you would want to put that on the record, that WBEN, as a non-resident alien.
Okay,
and
so
yes,
hand that in with your to fortify your claims of jurisdiction.
Position. Correct.
Yeah, okay, got it. All right, well, that's it for me for tonight, and I wish some of you would look at that one YouTube in Wyoming, so maybe we can discuss it on another call and get some feedback on what happened with him and how he went about trying to, you know, confer with the Leos, because they asked him also to get out of his car, and he said, no, he's not getting out of the car. And, you know, whenever they ask you that, you know what's going to happen. Anything that you confer with them should be able to be done, you know, through the window down about, you know, 3 or 4 inches and just enough to talk through and hand any paperwork or, you know, through the window. But they took his passport, and he had an American national passport, and, you know, he had done almost everything he could possibly do to, you know, and, you know, turned his documentation in to the authorities and the agencies, and yet I don't know what the problem was with these Leos not being able to get that figured out before all this went on for 20-some minutes. Anyway, that's all I have to say for tonight, and thank you very much for your comments, answers.
Sure. Okay. Listen, I want to follow up with what she just said. Before you go, Martin, I want to follow up with what she just said. So this could be a learning experience that we need to have right here. Here's the thing that I want you to keep in your mind in the forefront. No official, whether it's a cop, it's at the State Department level, it is at the IRS, I don't care where you're at. Don't presume just because you have a bunch of papers in places with different organizations, administrations, that these people that you're interfacing are educated and have comprehension of your status, the jurisdictional issues, and everything that comes into that scenario. You've got to be in a place and be willing to educate them nicely, okay, and bring them along, because the Rockefeller system that they grew up and got all their education through, and that's why they're with the state or the federal government, that they did not teach them a thing about getting off the plantation. All they allowed them to learn and retain and regurgitate was how to be a good slave. And so it's really contingent on you to be an ambassador, okay, to understand this well enough to be an ambassador that when they walk away from you, they say, wow, that lady was sharp, and I liked that conversation. I've seen plenty of those YouTubes. Anybody that wants to watch those, go ahead. I've seen hundreds of those. Okay, people send them to me all the time. there are times when I'm watching, and I've watched some, where the man was a real super gentleman and very much a diplomat in the way that they were talking about it. And the cop actually, you know, said, hey, listen, I'm going to turn off my camera here. Is it okay? I'm just going to turn off the camera. I want to talk to you privately. And the cop turns off the camera, and the guy still has his camera going. He's like, hey, how can you show me about this stuff? How can I learn more about it? You know, and all of a sudden the cop's learning about it, and he's very interested. Those kind of things happen, but they usually don't happen when somebody's belligerent, okay? And they're like this kid in the car, okay? You've got to learn how to be polite and diplomatic about it. And that's my stance, and that's the way I've always worked, especially with these officials. Anyway, that said, go ahead, Martin.
Okay. All right, Kent, you're up. Go ahead.
Sure. Good evening. Can you hear me okay, Greg?
Yeah, I can.
You can. You can hear me loud and clear. Okay. So do we have any way of determining if this gentleman that's the subject of this conversation in Utah had done the American national status correctly?
You know, I have no idea, and I really, even if we had contacts, could find out. I don't know if I want to. I mean, if he did or didn't, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Well, no. Let me tell you why I asked the question.
Okay.
We're talking about when they stop you and you present them with a passport or a passport card or whatever you're going to use to show your corrected status, that they then take it and they run it. With the sophisticated computer systems they have today, let's say the plates on the car are registered to that name. Don't you think that possibly this information would come up long before they have you stopped and they're coming to the window? Because they would know who you are. Now, there's a presumption there that the person in the car is the same one that the car is registered to, et cetera. Now, this wouldn't work if you had your own plates or, you know, the VIN number wasn't somehow displayed or it was in a trust or whatever. But assuming, like what Jennifer was saying, she had a registered car and it was registered in her name, wouldn't they have a way of knowing? And then the question would come, if they did know, would they know who had done this process properly versus someone who may have done it under, just to use an example that was talked about previously, David Strait or Anna von Reitz or some other method that was, you know, dedicating your allegiance to back to the state when that's not what you really want to accomplish in correcting your status. So how sophisticated are these computers, if you know, where they might know all of this ahead of time?
Only if the plates that come from the Department of Motor Vehicles, are they going to be able to run them, you know, in their cruiser?
Correct.
I mean, you know, like this kid had plates that were not from the DC.
No, I understand that.
So.
No, but you were saying.
They'll be able to run the plates and instantly they know who's registered to that car. Now, if it's a trust, they can know, okay, even if it's a trust, if you put that information, when you go to get the plates, there is a spot where you can have the trustee's name, okay, it addresses it as they run the plates, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, yeah, they're not going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's really incumbent when we continue to talk through this call and many other people that are talking about this in these circles, when we continue to talk about this and, you know, why this happened and, you know, analyzing and what went right, what went wrong, et cetera, obviously more went wrong. Shouldn't we be thinking about, instead of educating these people one at a time, on the side of the road, however that education process is going to be accomplished. And you just gave an example where the cop says, look, I'd like to know more about this, and he turns his camera off. so he's not caught asking the question. Isn't it possible that I realize there's 3,300, whatever it is, counties in this country, and that's a lot of counties. But shouldn't we be doing some kind of mass notice so that when these types of things happen, people have protection in place or some type of notice in place? Now, I realize this is rather complicated to expect everybody, you know, to notice 3,300 different counties. But it seems to me that there should be some overall, and I'm not looking to take charge of this. I'm just talking about this and thinking about this. Shouldn't there be some way to do a mass notification so that these people have no plausible deniability? Because, you know, I see this everywhere I go, this plausible deniability game.
Well, okay, so let's think about it this way. We had a kid that got arrested. He got pulled out of his car, got arrested, put the cuffs on, they put him in the back of the car, back of the squad car. Then the cop decides to run his actual passport card, okay? Decided to do it then. He's in the car. He's in the car. He's in the back seat. He sees the screen. The screen comes up with his name, and it says, do not arrest, do not detain, do not search. And the kid yells through the window to the cop, hey, says, don't arrest me. You know, don't detain me. And the cop, you know, takes the screen and pulls it to the side so the kid can't see it anymore. And eventually the cop gets out, you know, without saying a word, opens up the back door, takes the cuffs off, of course, and lets him go. Now, to your question, shouldn't there be notice? That's notice right there. If they will run your passport card, that's notice right there. Now, you cannot make every cop run your card. Like I told you that story about Owen about 6 months ago in California, the cop wouldn't even run his card. It got to the point where he just shoved it back into his face and said, get out of here, you know. But it was a win either way, okay? So what you're trying to accomplish there, can't by saying shouldn't we do something? Well, this is the most pragmatic, easiest way that we have found to give them notice if they'll run the card. Now, I haven't heard about too many situations where they didn't run it, and I don't think. And I don't remember any situation where they wouldn't run it and they arrested the person anyway. Okay. So, I think what you're asking for, I think we're already accomplishing at a pretty high rate. And that's if the cop is, you know.
Okay, but you know, that bears the variable or deals with the variable if they run it. So you're saying in most cases, you know, they're going to do that. Okay, that's just fine. I'm just talking about a general notice so that if they do something stupid, see now, wouldn't a defense for this cop, the story you just told about, put him in the back seat and then the guy yells to him, you see it says, do not arrest me, and he turns the screen the other way, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I suppose that guy could technically still sue them, but.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah, no, I understand, but the defense would be, well, I didn't notice till I ran the card.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm saying we need to strip them of any defense they have, of any plausible deniability. It's just a thought.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there as a thought.
Okay. If you ever get that worked out, you know, tell us.
Well, I said I wasn't looking to take on the project by myself. I'm throwing it out there for discussion to get people to think about it, not waiting for somebody else to work it out.
Okay. Sounds good.
And the other comment I want to make is about what Nancy was saying. If she's talking about the same YouTube that I think I saw, she's correct. That gentleman remained staunch that he was not getting out of his car, and he did not get out of the car. And regardless of their threats, they finally gave up on him.
Yeah. Good deal.
And that's it. Thank you.
All right.
All right. All right. And now we've got Jennifer. Let me get you unmuted here, Jennifer. Go ahead.
One reason I sent the paperwork in DMV was because they might, I'm hoping, put it on a record, so if they do run my plate, it will come up at that point, and they won't need to stop me and then me show them the card. So that was my modus operandi for doing that. I don't know if that will happen, but we'll see. And the second thing is, I think that they like putting out those videos where they frighten people because so many people are trying to get out of the system. And one way to stop you, just like the IRS arrests a famous person, to stop people not paying their income tax, they have these wild videos up deterring people from becoming American nationals. But another thing I wanted to say is I have a corporation sole bank account I've had since 2020, but I decided to send in my W-8 Ben and see what would happen. And what happened was, they started taking FATCA tax out of my corporation sole savings account. And they still are doing it. And I've been to two banks. I've called the IRS. I've called the bank. And they all say, well, you've just got to fill out another W-9 and it'll eventually get fixed. But the problem is they won't put all of the information that Bernie puts on a W-9. They refuse to put that into their W-9 on the computer because they say it doesn't give them any space to do that. And they also won't add that, photocopy the page and add it to my file. So
Jennifer? What were they taking? I didn't catch the word. You said they were taking something out of your savings. What were they taking?
The FATCA, FATCA, foreign account tax something. I've forgotten what the word.
They use the nexus of you sending in the W-8-BEN, okay, instead of just using the W-9 that Bernie provided. So, okay, and you were just kind of fooling around just to see what would happen, right?
Right, right. Because that's okay. Saying that
I wish you would have asked one of us.
Oh, what? Asked you what?
Whether you should have done that or not. Because I'd have told you no.
Bernie actually gave me in a packet of information one that had it all filled out for the corporation sole, and that's the one I sent in, not one in under my name. It was under the corporation sole name. So I just figured,
All right. Yeah, I got you.
If you open an account, you should use this document when you open an account. So I was just adding it to an account that was already open. But anyway, yesterday I actually got onto someone in Wells Fargo who said they're going to send me the W-9 forms and I should mail them into the address that she gave me, an address where to actually mail them, because none of the branches will put all the information in. And so if I mail it with all the information on it, she thought, well, maybe that will do something, But anyway, I don't know what else to do besides that. So, but
yeah.
If you have to have foreign accounts, and like overseas from America, and I don't have any accounts overseas from America, plus it's a non-taxpayer is what it says on the W-8N, it says non-taxpayer. On the W-9, it says non-taxpayer. So I don't see how they have the authority to take tax out.
Yeah.
Also, when I call the IRS, no one knows anything about FATCA tax, or there's no FATCA tax department or anything.
Right. Right, yeah.
So you think that
yeah.
shouldn't go to the bank? Is that what you mean?
Well, listen, we've been operating for years and years and years without the W-8BEN, with the corporation sole or the chair of religious trust for a long, long time with great success. I know that recently, and let me tell you, I know he's added it into the package. And, I need to talk to him about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Personally, okay, just on my side, that's me. Why take something that's working perfect and throw a wrench into it?
Well, I just thought it might make it better somehow, but it didn't.
I don't know how much how better you could make it. See, that's my thoughts. I don't know. I mean, it was stellar, and I don't know how you make it better from there. So,
okay.
And it seemed like it seemed like what happened was they used that as a nexus, okay,
yes.
A legal nexus to take that, you know, amount of tax out of there. It's like, oh, gosh, you know, somebody's just used that.
So also,
and now you're trying to reverse it.
Yeah, yeah. If someone's trying to open a bank account, just don't use that. And if you just use the W-9 and they don't put all the information in and they refuse to take a copy and put it in your file, I would just mail a W-9 with all the information in. So they know it's a non-tax-paying because he refused to believe that it was a non-tax-paying corporation. So that's what he saw it as, a corporation. So there's no such thing as a non-tax-paying corporation. So he wouldn't put that stuff. I've had every bank I've been to won't put that information in to their into the computer.
Yeah, but Jennifer, you don't need to say anything to the banker other than to ascertain and make certain that the EIN number or the tax ID number on that account is the EIN number for the trust. It doesn't matter what they do with it as long as it's there.
Okay, well, don't they have to put all the info
right.
from the D9 into as well or not?
That's a Bernie question or y'all's question. It's not me. All I'm saying is that the EIN number is a non-taxpayer, and it doesn't matter what the banker thinks. Let him think whatever he wants. You know, it's a court-ordered trust. If he wants to say that the grantor is Beit Din Hillel, keep your mouth closed and let him think that. It doesn't matter. If he wants to say it's an irrevocable trust, let him put that down. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters except the EIN number.
I see. Well, that's good to know, good to understand. And thanks.
All right.
I think that's
all right. Except we've got Frank in Texas. Go ahead, Frank.
Hey, Michael, IGW, David here.
Hey.
Appreciate y'all's call last Monday. I went to my appointment with the passport official on Tuesday. They looked at all the documentation. The lady actually, it was kind of weird. She actually thumbed through the documents two or three times and missed the addendum, which was, of course, the affidavit declaration, two or three times. So I made it a point to let her know I want that to be a part of the submission. And then she picked it up and read it. She made a couple of funny looks with her face, but then said, okay, everything looks fine. So I appreciate y'all's coaching. On Monday, Tuesday went fine. Hopefully in the next 4 or 5 weeks I'll have the new passport.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. They're right there, Martin. Might be
muted. Yeah, that's a mute button. I'm telling you, man, it's a killer. Charlie in Oklahoma. Go ahead, Charlie.
Yes, I was not able to get on the call, so an hour has gone by. Is this is the Monday call recorded somewhere, or where can I get the recording?
Yeah, well, you want to pick up a membership at your Remedy. It's $10 a month, and then every call is recorded going all the way back years and years and years. That's really the only way to get it, the archives there.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, just go to youready.com and register.
I have to interject something here. We, almost a year ago, we were hacked with ransomware, and our recordings, we have all the recordings, but the links between what they say they are and what they are have all been cluster bombed, if you would. So with regards to that, if you want a particular recording, you need to email me and say, I want the recording for such and such a date where so-and-so was holding this class. Okay?
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
There you go.
All right, and Nancy, you got something else for us?
Yeah, I just am shocked about that, what Jennifer was saying about the FACTA thing, because I can't even believe they're doing that, because you have to have an offshore bank account for that FACTA rule to apply. So if her account is not is in the United States, I just can't even believe they're doing that. That's way wrong. You can't?
I can't. Yeah. What I've been experiencing with in the banking realm lately, it's pretty crazy.
Well, can't you just go in there and show them the law? Stop it? No.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
Sounds,
then I guess
sounds good.
Problems.
I love it. What's that?
Huh?
I said it sounds good. I mean, it should work that way, but hopefully she'll be able to get it worked out.
Yeah, I hope so. Anyway, Well, that's just my other comment, and that's it. So.
Okay.
All right, appreciate you. All right, we'll make one last sweep here, star 2 on your keypad, or type it in on the Freedoms Radio side before we wrap it up for the evening. You got anything in closing for us, GW?
No, I think we had a pretty decent call, a lot of activity, a lot of questions, and I think we worked out some things here, hopefully. And hopefully we,
all right,
go ahead.
Yeah, super quick. Ron, go ahead.
Well,
yes, Michael.
Mr. Edward.
I had to unmute. Yes, Michael here, Ron. Go ahead.
When I send you an email, How do you want the subject line to read?
For you? Well, I don't want to say it. For everybody, let's just say your name is John Doe. It would be Y, all uppercase, everything uppercase, Y-R-I-I-T-L dot Doe, D-O-E, dot John, J-O-H-N. So it's your John Doe, and you're saying Y-R-I-I-T-L dot D-O-E dot J-O-H-N. Space.
So in other words, Y-R-R-I.
Space, colon, space, and then the subject line. Go ahead, Martin.
Yeah, so Y-R-I-I-T-L, as in your remedy is in the law, dot last name, dot first name. I'm just retranslating there for you. Yeah. All right, you got that, Ron?
Oh, that's Y-R-I-I-T-L-E.
Yeah, your remedy is in the law.
Okay. That's first name, last name. And what was
last name?
No, last name, then first name.
Okay.
All right.
And that's subject.
I'm going to send you an email right now, the way it's supposed to be, Ron.
All right. Thank you. I'm slow.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, GW. We appreciate you kindly.
Okay. All right. Talk to you folks next week.
All right. We'll look forward to it. All right, folks, join us again tomorrow night, same time, same place. We'll be having our Tuesday night call. Now, this will be on, what is this, Mr. Edward, you want to do your little plug?
I'm sorry, repeat your question, please, Martin. Tomorrow night?
Yep, tomorrow night, Tuesday night.
Tomorrow night is John. We're going to be covering this call, this audio that you heard. Again, suicide / murder of this young man. We're going to be covering it from a legal standpoint. You really ought to be on the call to learn your behavior on the side of the road.
All right, so we'll see everybody back again for that. Until then, have a safe and wonderful evening, and be well.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Thank you. Thank you.